Yes, guys, what's good? You're tuned into Mango Masala, Pi Radio South Asian show. My name's Gaines. I'm here with Simran.
Hi.
But not Halima, because Halima's off in Central America, living the
gallivanting.
Life. Gallivanting. But you know what? At least we're not 28, Simran.
At least we're not 28. You know what? Something's always good in the world. There's always a silver lining. At least we're not 28. Right, Carlos? At least you're not 28 anytime soon.
Well, that's anytime soon, literally a month, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like, now that I've said it out loud, I feel like saying something eight. That's quite nice. It sounds like a round, it's not a round number, but you know what I mean? Like something eight.
I'm telling you now, I think 28 is better than 27.
Yeah, we'll see.
You, when I, this time in 2 years' time, you can rinse me all you want about how I'm about to turn 27.
Okay, noted. But I think it's actually quite nice. I think I wrote this in Halima's card, which I'm presuming she's got now. Her friends set up an e-card to me, and Simran wrote in it. And I wrote, thank you for being a month older than me, because I feel like it kind of cushions the fall for me. Like, I've got like a month of being like, okay, like, at least someone else is.
No, because I met someone the other day and she turned 25 like a month ago, and I was literally interviewing her. I was like quizzing her. I was like, what's it like? How are your knees? How's your back? Like, how's everything doing? I was like, but genuinely, like, how does it feel? Because I've built it up in my head to be like a whole different, mentally like a new chapter, physically like a new age. Like, I don't know, but I just asking her loads of questions, and to be honest, I'm not even going to lie, she was just as dramatic as me, and she affirmed everything I was thinking. And she was like, my knees hurt, my back hurts, I'm old. And I was like, okay.
But I feel like that has nothing to do with turning 25. That's just, you know what I mean? Like, I having been 20 for over 25 for a number of years now, I can say with confidence, I feel like for me personally, turning 25 kind of did enter a new chapter of my life, but in a positive sense. And yes, that is because I also got engaged literally the day after I turned 25. But I just feel like it's not bad. Like, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I just think 25 is quite significant because it's obviously quarter of a century, and it's like that age, like it's quite a significant age to turn. But what I will say is I've had like 50-50, like so many people have been like, oh, you know, it's the start of like the aging process and you'll notice so many more changes in your body and stuff like that. And then other people have been like, no, life really started when I turned 25. Like it's been great.
I think as long as you have a positive mindset, you'll be fine.
Yeah, which I need to develop in between now and the next 6 weeks.
Good luck. Starting off today's episode, I just realized I want to moan about something. So I'm gonna I'm gonna go and do it.
Okay.
We're recording this on my lunch break, basically. We're recording this the day before this goes out. It's a Friday, and I'm kind of running around a bit at the moment. I'm like dog sitting, and I'm in between places. It's all a bit up in the air, and as a result, I'm kind of a bit behind in terms of organization. I need to pick up a prescription today. Like just a generic prescription from like the doctor and from the pharmacy, sorry. And it's just so annoying. And I've just realized this is something I want to rant about. Why is it that services like the pharmacy or the bank or stuff, they're only open during normal working hours? Like, I know some of them are like 24 hours or extended, which is great, but this one that I'm having to go to, because the normal one is closed down temporarily, it's only open from like 9 to 6 or something like that. And I'm just like, what is the logic in that? I don't understand, because sure, like the average person, yes, they can maybe go on the lunch break. Something I'm spending my lunch break doing this, but the average person, it's such an inconvenience to have to like plan that. I just feel like, why don't you just extend your hours or even make your hours only when people aren't actually in work? Because it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's something that's irked me, especially with stuff like the bank. The bank is one in particular that they're never open late. And I'm just like, so you're forcing people to have to like take time off work or take time out of their only hour of free time in the working day, or half an hour even, to go and sort this. And I'm just, what's up with that? Who decided that?
And why is it so expensive? Because you can leave your house, but the prescription is now like £9.90 or £9.80 or something like that, which is crazy.
Do you not have the year-long thing?
No.
No, I've got. You should get it.
I've never even heard of that.
NHS sponsor us. No,
I've never even heard of that.
You can sign up and get a year long. Like you pay, I feel like it's like 100 something quid, but it works out all right. Like, and then you just go and you say I've got a prepaid prescription and you get it.
Oh, luckily, touch wood, I'm not on any regular medication that I think I need to spend it. But that is very good if you have to pick up things on a regular basis. But no, back to your point, you're right. Like, I did always just think this, like, doctor's appointments. I guess, obviously, a lot of workplaces are lenient with letting you take time off for stuff like that. But, like, I don't know, the post office, like, it's just long.
Did you see... Oh, sorry, go on.
This is a rant that I've been saying for, like, 4 years now. Do you remember, like, 5 years ago, Tesco, whatever, would be 24 hours. You'd have 24-hour supermarkets.
Yeah.
Then COVID happened, and fair enough, they just reduced the hours. I guess it's safer, less people, whatever, right? Which I guess you can also make an argument against, because then you have more time for people to be spread out and, like, you know, less people. Anyway, whatever. They cut the hours back to, like, just working hours. They must close at, like, 9, 10 now, which I guess is still kind of late. But bring it back. So many things they got rid of because of COVID, and now we don't have to deal with COVID anymore, really. Then they never brought it back. We never went back to the old ways.
There is few things better than going to a big supermarket at like 2-3 in the morning. No one's there apart from a couple of people, and you can just go on. I think as someone that's like kind of gets overstimulated very easily, I hate shopping when it's busy and there's everyone's there, everyone's kind of pushing around, especially with trolleys. It's so hard to maneuver around people. It's not a very pleasant experience for me. I tend to avoid that. Going at like ridiculous o'clock in the morning when no one's there and you can just take your time. It's, yes, there might not be everything in stock, like a particular like fresh food and stuff like that, but it's just so much more relaxing, and especially the speakers are still playing music, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, the supermarket can really be like sensory overload. I have to like, this is going to sound so like soft, but I have to like plan my outfit. Like, it has to be like a simple, not high maintenance outfit. Like if it's like my gym clothes, perfect, fine. Just run in, run out. Like, I have to be, like, lightweight. Headphones in. Headphones are a non-negotiable for the supermarket. And I literally need a list, and I need to be in, and I'm out. I don't faff. Like, I don't go down an aisle thinking, like, oh, I wonder what's down there, and look down there. No, I'm in and out.
Yeah, no, I get drawn into that. That's particularly one aisle, like, I think in the Tesco's that is close to us. It's, they always have like those kind of like seasonal type of aisles where it's like it changes. Oh. And I'm always kind of drawn in like, oh, what kind of mugs have they got in this week? Like, it's just, no, and it's sometimes they're really good. Just saying, like, no.
Yeah, I know, I believe like, you.
It's a waste of money, but they are really good.
But yeah, because I had to go to Sainsbury's the day with my mom, and that was the biggest faff. Like, it was just, oh, let's go look down there. Let's see what's over here. Let's do it. I was like, oh my God, we're here for like 5 things. Can we just grab them and go? And then you end up spending so much more money. You end up spending so much more time there. But it's fine. But anyway, yeah, I agree with your point. Why everything that is like a service, like almost like a necessary service, like pharmacy, post office, stuff like that, like 9 to 5.
Speaking of post office, did you watch the NTAs?
Oh, I did hear about what happened. I didn't watch the NTAs. No.
Yeah.
But you meant the Mr. Bates and the post office drama.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a bit, obviously, that...
Yeah.
Because that it was brought up at the NTAs, because obviously they won a number of awards, or at least one, at the NTAs. And when they went up on stage, they gave a speech and revealed that, like, nothing's changed and, like loads of people still haven't been paid and stuff. I think it just says a lot, doesn't it, about, because I think we spoke about when it actually came about and how great it was to see something like TV galvanize support for a cause that's like, so it needs justice. There's a number of things that need justice, but this, like, obviously in particular, and I know Simran, you went into like how like a number of South Asian people have also been affected by this, particularly because of the lingual barrier as well. So just to hear that nothing's changed, I don't know. I'm glad that they used that platform again, like at the NTAs, like rather than being like, oh, thank you to this person, that person, be like, nothing's changed, sort it out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the show undeniably gave them good publicity and brought it to the forefront of a lot of people's attention, of course, that can't be denied. But to hear that nothing has changed is incredibly disappointing. And it was such a large scale, like, scandal that you just had that. Is it a drama? Is it a documentary? Had that TV program had it not been produced, hardly anyone would have really known about it unless you were directly affected or known someone, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think the fact that it went largely unknown off for so long as well it's mad. But yeah, on the topic of NTAs as well, what do you think about the fact that Ant and Dec literally win best presenter every single year? It's been 23 years now.
They've won it 23 years in a row.
Yeah.
Can't help but think I have something to do with that.
Do you actually vote for the NTAs?
No, I was born, and then the year after that, they started winning.
You have to make everything about you, Simran.
I actually do think I have main character syndrome.
Yeah, well, that's such a good example of that. It's not even the year you were born, it's the year after I was born it started happening.
Like, yeah, do you want to know a story? When we went for my cousin's hen, we were playing like a hen game, and one of the questions, I'll defend myself afterwards. Basically, it was like we had a sheet of paper with questions on it, and one of them was like, oh, how did you and Kieran meet? And I was so confused. I wrote like, family, duh. Like, I was born and she was like kind of there. Like, she's my cousin, duh. And then and then we went around the room and I was like, guys, like, I'm related to her. Like, what do you mean? And they were like, you flipping donut. How she met her fiance. And I was like, and then basically it became the running joke of the holiday, how I make everything about me.
That's so funny.
But can I defend myself? I was a couple of drinks in, first of all. And number two, what I thought was, it was, how did you meet her? And everyone was going to write their cute stories of like, oh, I don't know, like first year halls or like in the night out or at uni. I don't know, right? Like just cute stories. And mine wouldn't have been a cute one because she's just my cousin. Like it would just have been, like, yeah, we're related. She was just there when I turned one or something. I don't know. But like everyone else would have had like a really nice anecdote. And I thought it was going to be a really wholesome moment.
Yeah, I mean,
that's where my brain was at.
That would have been nice if it was that. But yeah, I think, yeah, I'm not going to defend you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've been defending myself since that happened against everyone.
Anyway.
But yeah, Ant and Dec.
Yeah, because I think the thing is, we can't really complain because it's a public vote. So it's not like, oh, the judges are just giving it to them every year. Like, it is that the public are voting for them every single year.
Is it NTAs? Is it ITV?
I think it's broadcast on ITV, yeah.
So is it like an ITV production? Like, it's just ITV stuff or is it everything?
Let me... No, it's not just ITV, no. It's everything. Right.
Because I was going to say, like, I'm not very good with, like, who's on which broadcasting channel, but I was going to say, like, there are so many good, but not that, I'm not saying Anadek aren't good, but there are so many good presenters that would also be equally worthy to win that award.
Yeah, so it's broadcast on ITV, but they include programs from all over and streaming as well. Oh. But, yeah, I think that's the problem that people have. And I think with new shows that are including Ant and Dec as well, which isn't to say that they shouldn't be open to taking on new shows, and obviously I think we can both agree that they're good at what they do, and they're a good duo, like, and they're funny, and yeah, I don't dislike them, but I do agree that they kind of do seem to have this kind of monopoly over British presenting, which, as well as the fact that there's obviously a number of other good presenters out there who deserve to get their flowers, it's also, I feel like it maybe kind of prevents new talent from being able to fully, like, get in.
23 years is a run. Like, that is actually past a point of, like, no one's even had a chance for 2 decades.
Yeah. I feel like they should, you know, like, the charts, I think there is, like, a limit, like, once it's been a certain number of weeks. I know it's this for, like, the Asian charts, at least, anyway.
Is it?
Yeah, that once something's been number one for a number of weeks, they'll just take it off because they need to give something else, like, a fair shot. Like, it's, like...
Something's, like, really dominating and polarising it.
Yeah, like I think for the British Asian child, I believe it's 8 weeks and then they'll just take it off because also for something like that, like it's not, there's not as many songs that would be at the top anyway. So it's like, otherwise it's just dead boring because it's the same thing all the time. So I feel like they maybe need to take a leaf out of that book and maybe just be like, maybe when it gets to 25 years, just be like, look.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
I was going to say 25, you couldn't cut it at 23 now.
Yeah, 23. Like, once it gets to like a round or a five number, be like, look, you've had your run. Like, I just feel like it's like, come on.
But okay, I don't mean this in any like disrespect, but what do they present now, genuinely? I'm a celeb. Saturday night takeaway live thing.
Yeah, and somehow Britain's Got Talent is still going on. Britain's Got Talent as well has, they've announced that they're extending it. So it's actually going to start broadcasting in February now and run all the way through till summer. Yeah,
but I didn't even know it was still on TV.
Exactly. This is who watches it? I don't understand.
So maybe we're just not the demographic for it.
I suppose it is more of a family type program.
Older people, young children, young children. Like, I wonder if there's like a George Sampson equivalent.
I personally would rather have X Factor than.
Is there no X Factor?
No, it stopped. So it stopped like in the late 2010s. They tried X Factor Celebrity. Do you remember that? That was like in like 2019, I think. Damn. And then COVID hit. I feel like after that, they were just like, yeah, we're not bringing it back. But I would rather watch that.
Yeah, I would prefer X Factor over BGT.
But again, maybe that's just us. But I think also X Factor, they have a lot more to actually answer for now in terms of... in terms of the... What's it called? Pastoral care in terms of how they were back in the early noughties compared to how they would have to be now, it wouldn't be able to be the same show realistically. So I get it from that front, but yeah, bring back X Factor. I just want to watch all the funny auditions again,
but there's nothing any TV program can do to keep me locked in. I can't lie, at the moment I can't watch anything.
I didn't think that I would ever stop watching Love Island. I know that sounds sad to say, but I just feel the fact that I continued with it for so long, I was kind of like invested in it to keep up with the way that it was popping off on Twitter. And then it was the summer that I was on my honeymoon. I obviously wasn't watching it. And then after that, I was just like, well, I've missed one. I can't be bothered like doing it again. And I'm glad it happened because it really did take up a lot of my time investing in watching that.
Love Island, in my opinion, just got so rinse and repeat. Like, there's only so many times you can watch someone just go like, can I pull you for a chat? Do you want to have a chat? I'm into you. I'm keeping my options open. Yeah, but, you know, I don't want to hurt so-and-so's feelings. So, you know, but I just want you to let you know that I think you're attractive. Like, oh, my God. There's no need for that show to go on for, like, two and a half months or whatever it is.
Yeah. They really need it. This is what people commented on in terms of the X Factor as well and why they feel like it failed. It was that Simon didn't. I mean, he obviously did change it slightly, but he didn't adapt it to the changing audiences. And I feel like Love Island needs to do that rather than just like, oh, we're going to eliminate people off the bat, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Especially when they did that using the Punjabi girl, the first like Punjabi girl on it to be like, yeah, let's just get her off straight away. Like, yeah, they need to be a bit more imaginative, I feel.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, I have one thing to say about Love Island, and then I want to ask you a question back on the Ant and Dec thing. But since we spoke about Molly Mae and Tommy Fury's breakup, which was very much seeming like she was alluding to some infidelity was going on in her statement, now she's launched a clothing line. To what extent do we believe it was a PR breakup to promote the clothing line?
Allegedly. This is all conspiracy theories. There's no proof in any of this. We're just purely speculating.
Because you don't just launch a clothing line out of nowhere. That's months of work.
Yeah. There's always the chance that it's going to be that. I just think, like, I feel like she didn't... I feel like Molly's still relevant. I don't think she needed to do that. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't think she needed to do that, which is why I'm confused. Like, if that is the truth...
Yeah, I doubt it. I don't know. Mm. I don't think so. I mean, obviously, it looks like it could be that because of how it's turned out, and also the fact that I saw in Shadeborough the other day, very reliable source, that's sarcasm, by the way, that apparently their relationship is potentially rekindling.
But if they do get back together, then I think that is kind of confirmed that it was a PR breakup then.
Yeah, I don't know. Who are we to speculate?
There's so many like breakups, and then one person out of the couple launches a whole new brand or product or company, and it's like, that's very interesting, very well timed. Some might say.
Some might say, Oasis, 1995. Yep. You get that reference. Right, sorry. Okay, moving on. What was the question you wanted to ask about Ant and Dec?
Who would win in your books?
In a fight? What do you mean, who would win?
I meant, what other presenter would win the best presenter award?
Oh, what?
In a fight!
Ant and Dec, who would win?
I was like, no, that's not what I meant. I thought I was making sense. But it's just the way that you set your face and you just went, in a fight. Right. Okay, who would win in a fight?
Yeah, most importantly, let's answer that first.
My money's on Ant. But then Dec might be nippy.
Yeah, that's it. I think Dec would win. I think he's got more to the, more than what the IC is, whatever it is. More than what...
I'm actually screaming.
How do you say that? No, Dec. Also, Dec actually seems a bit more well-proportioned. Ant seems like... They're both relatively small.
Taking a turn.
They're both relatively small, but I feel like Ant has like a small head. Considering, whereas Dec is just
how
small
much
all
time
around.
Have you actually spent like analyzing Ant and Dec's body proportions?
Not until now, but
no, me neither. Yeah.
Well, when you really think about it,
okay, maybe I would say Dec.
I want to see that, like, YouTuber boxing by Ant and Dec.
That's what I want to see at the next NDAs.
Yeah. Also, I don't want to see KSI boxing anyone. I want to see Ant and Dec. That's what That's what I'll pay streaming for. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But. What you were saying, anyway, about best presenter, I think there's a number of them. The person that comes to mind is Alison Hammond, just because I feel like she's like
nation
sweetheart. Like,
love her.
Yeah. I think it would have to be her. She's the person that's coming to my mind. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like, I don't know. He's a presenter, I suppose. That really tall guy who was in the Inbetweeners. He's like the head teacher or something in the Inbetweeners. He does Taskmaster now.
Oh, does he? I know who you mean, but I don't know what
he's
called.
He's really tall. Yeah. I don't know what his name is now.
Mr. Gilbert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Him. But I don't know if I'd say like best. He just comes to mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you on Alison Hammond.
Yeah. No, she was on this morning, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Bake Off's back soon.
Do you actually watch that religiously?
I have seen a few, and there's been a couple of series where I've literally been like, Bake Off's on, like, and then I'd like make the time to go watch it. Not gonna lie, I've got all the time in the world. I might just watch Bake Off this year.
Do it, and maybe you should join in each week and see whether you can make what they're making.
Okay, that's a bit much because I can barely cook. Forget bake. However, that being said, I've got big plans.
Big plans for what?
Did you see the presidential debate when Trump said, I have concepts of a plan?
No, I genuinely have barely seen anything from the debate, by the way.
Watch some of the clips. It's just a mess. But Kamala was like, something about like, what is your plan? Like, what's going on? And then he was like, I have concepts of a plan. Like, you're running for president.
Yeah.
You don't have a plan. He has concepts. Anyway, I have concepts of a plan for 12 days from now. Do you know what's happening in 12 days, Carlos? I'd be really upset if you don't know.
12 days from now. What is that? The 25th? Oh, Because originally I was going to ask if you wanted to come to Manchester that weekend. A week and there was something else going on, but I've forgotten what it is.
No.
No, it's not that. Okay, well, I found, what is it then?
It's my 1 year Duolingo anniversary, guys.
What is it? Well, Simran, guess what's happening in 5 days?
Oh, I forgot you're quicker than me.
Yeah, so unless I like somehow don't manage to do it and like end up getting delayed, shall I purposely delay it so we can do it together?
Do you have enough streak freezes?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I don't know why I suggested it. I'm not obviously not doing that, obviously.
I was going to say, because that's actually the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, sorry.
I wouldn't make you do that, to be honest.
Yeah, what do you think? You know what's annoying, though? Do you know who Jack Remington is? He's like a, like, basically like media personality, like content creator. He's really funny. I like him a lot. But he has Duolingo and he's on like nearly like 1,000 days.
How?
Exactly. I'm just like, I was impressive.
It's like three and a half years?
Yeah, over 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah, because have you seen on like the leaderboards, it'll have like a random person and it'll be like 4+ years, 3+ years. And you're like, how? But that'll probably be me in 3 years' time.
Do you know what the problem is with Duolingo, yeah? It's that I'm a very busy person, especially at the moment. Simran can attest to that. I think you've seen in the past like month and a half since I've started my new job, I'm a lot more busy, and I was busy before that anyway. Anyway, it will get like to late at night. It'll be you need to... What's it? Junior's going to bed. You need to do your Duolingo. And then I'll get like nudges from Simran, like a real friend honors their streak.
Get out of here, streak. Carlos, because I get the same ones from you.
Yeah.
And it comes on my Apple Watch with a dumpster on fire and stuff like that.
Anyway, it'll get to
Carlos
that point.
Is like Duolingo Bitmojis, like crying. And I'm like, brilliant. Now Carlos is sad.
Yeah. Anyway. The problem is, it'll be like 10, 11 o'clock, and I'll be like, I don't have the time or energy to do this, so I will just simply do... I don't know if you have this for yours, because yours is a romanized language, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have a new script to learn.
Right.
But I have, like, a learn the letters bit.
Oh,
because
okay.
Because it's teaching me, like... If there was the option to just learn it romanized... I'm learning Hindi, by the way, for context... If it was an option to learn it romanized, I would do, just because it's easier to kind of
I was
going to
ask
whatever.
The option to just select what you want to learn in terms of speaking versus reading and writing.
There's not. That's why I was put off it for so long. But then eventually I was like, you know what, fine, I'll just learn it. And it's has been cool. It's cool, even though I find it hard as well, because if it's not in the Duolingo font, like, for example, I've seen, like, Hindi scripture elsewhere, and I can vaguely do it, but it's hard because it doesn't look exactly the same. But it's still cool to learn. Anyway, there's the option to like learn letters, and it's a lot easier than the generic like tasks bit.
Like a lesson.
Yeah. So I'll end up, if I'm really like can't be bothered, then I'll end up doing that, and you get less XP for it, but it still continues your streak. So I'll just end up doing that, which is good for continuing your streak, but it's bad in the sense that I end up doing that. Do you know what I mean?
No, because I'm glad that you said this, because I would say that like, first of all, are you on the free or have you paid for it?
I'm on free. That's why I can't afford. Also, it's like if I make too many mistakes and it doesn't count it, then I need to do that. Off. Yeah.
So when I was clearly bawling last year, I paid £60 for a Duolingo 1 year subscription, the whole shebang. So I don't have lives. Like I can make as many mistakes as I want. I don't have ads or whatever, right? Which is a lie, because since they brought out Duolingo Max, I do have ads. Sort it out. But obviously now I've cancelled my subscription. So in a few weeks' time, it's going to run out and I'm going to go back to having lives and stuff. So I'll let you know how that goes.
Welcome.
I know, right? And no, because what I've discovered is I have like a training zone area, and there's one that I can do, and it's just words, and you like match the words up. That takes me like 20, 30 seconds and I can do my streak, but I don't learn anything.
This is the thing, like, I'm sure I'm learning something slightly, but it's just the case. Yeah. It's not as intense as the lessons.
But
I also
used to, like, go on.
Also, I would argue that, like, you know, with the lessons and stuff, I feel like when you pay for it and you're able to make as many mistakes as you want, I feel like you're less inclined to actually try and get it right. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, they're like sweating, like, I only have 5 chances to get it wrong. I need to get it right. It makes me like actually do it properly. Do you know what I mean?
But then I think once I got rid of, because obviously I did it with the lives for like a month or two, and then I paid for it. And then I don't think it made me more careful, but I spent a lot more time on the app. So I think ultimately I did learn more. So maybe I would make like 10, 15 mistakes.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
I would be on the app for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair. Because it's also the case for me, it's like if I make too many mistakes, I might finish one lesson, but then I'm like, well, great. Well, I've got one heart left. There's no point me doing an extra lesson because I can't actually do it. Like,
yeah, yeah. I think it was good, to be fair. But I will say, like, the novelty wore off. Like, it stayed for a long time. Like, I was really active on Duolingo till like February, March of this year. And then I feel like the novelty really wore off. And then not even February, March. I'd probably say like May, June. And then I was just doing my streak to get the streak. And I feel like I've not learned much Spanish since.
So you're telling me since you got more time on your hands, that's when you have been doing less Duolingo?
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Can't lie. Cannot lie. But then I just think like, how many times can I learn about like how to say the weather? But I don't have beef with Duolingo because I think it serves its purpose. Like, it's a gamified way to learn a language. It doesn't claim to teach you it fluently. Like, it's just like,
I think
these are the basics. It kind
there's
of
there's always these like think pieces online that are like, here's why Duolingo actually doesn't teach you blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not expecting to wake up and be able to like converse with a native speaker for like an hour or something. But it's definite that since I've been doing it, maybe my speaking hasn't got that much better just because it doesn't make me speak it. I know there's the option to, but it doesn't make me speak it. But my understanding of stuff has improved massively, like in terms of like, just because I'm hearing on a regular basis.
How is your Hindi like when you have to go and speak to like Mianka's family and stuff like that?
Well, it's also
in India.
Well, see, it's annoying as well because obviously they all speak in Punjabi and it just makes things a bit more quite confusing.
I seriously need to start a petition to get Punjabi on. I would love, that would make my life so much easier. And I feel like with the understanding I have of Punjabi now, it would just be a really good tool.
But it's like, would it actually help you that much? Because obviously like for Hindi, for example, there's only like 2 big levels to it.
Is it?
Yeah, like, there's still loads of stuff there, but there's only 2, whereas I know with Spanish, there's, like, way more.
Oh, there's, like, 10.
Yeah, so the level that it goes up to for Punjabi, would that actually go beyond what you can do? Do you know what I mean?
True. Oh, I didn't realise. I thought it was, like, just as big as Spanish.
Yeah.
Because I think Spanish is the second most learnt language on Duolingo after English.
Yeah. Which is mad, but I would love to go on and, like, see. But it's annoying, because obviously you can't do it, because it would teach you it in a language other than English, but I would love to see how they teach people English. Because it's actually such a weird language. Oh. Like there's no rules to it.
But even Spanish can be strange sometimes as well. Like, it can be really confusing. And just one thing I've not got to grips with, we've spoke about Duolingo for like 10 minutes.
I know.
But one thing I've not got to grips with, because we don't have it in English, is gendered nouns and gendered stuff like that. Like, and then having to change the end of like a verb based on what you're talking about, because I don't know, a table's masculine and a chair's feminine. Actually, no, tables are feminine, but you know what? You get the point.
England is progressive. We don't have the need to gender inanimate things. Yeah, take that.
Anyway, the whole point of this whole thing was I've got big baking plans for my Duolingo anniversary.
Right. Look forward to that. Oh my gosh. Right. Moving on. The Weeknd's new song, Simran. How is it?
Guys, forget the song.
The song? Why?
Forget the song. I love him.
Right. Okay, we don't need to hear that for the umpteenth time. What is the song like?
I know, but okay, fine. Let's talk about the song. It's good. It's poppy. But then again, it's the single to the album. So it's going to be the more mainstream vibe.
Yeah. It's the blinding lights of the album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Dancing in the Flames. I keep saying Kissing in the Flames. It's not Kissing in the Flames. I'm pretty sure it's Dancing in the Flames.
Yeah.
Dancing in the Flames. Oh, it's really good. I do really like it. And I was getting a bit emotional listening to it earlier. The music video has come out. Also shot on an iPhone. So obviously it was sponsored by Apple.
iPhone 16.
I haven't watched the music video yet, but I will watch it. No, I really like this song. It is just poppy. Like, I've gone through, like, Complex's comments and stuff, and everyone's kind of, like, being a bit mean and saying, like, bro sold out and stuff like that. But, like, he is just who he is. And the amount of times I've said on this show that, like, every artist objectively made better music when they were down in the dumps and, like, not going through a good time. Why can't you just be happy for them that they're happy now?
Yeah.
But he did a show in Sao Paulo on the 7th of September, 6th or 7th of September. And that looked insane. And the whole thing was live streamed. And I got through about 8 minutes of the live stream because I was sobbing uncontrollably. I had to shut it off. I had to skip to the Playboi Carti bit because I was like, I'm not going to cry at Playboi Carti. So yeah. But it was unreal. And I had a look at flights to Sao Paulo. I really thought I could make that happen.
Glad that it's providing you some joy.
And I can't wait for the album. But the album, I don't think, will come out till like November, December now, because he's touring, finishing his tour in Australia.
It's not that far away, though.
In October. Mm.
Yeah.
He's so cryptic, though. If you guys have followed his marketing for that album, everything's been in like code, basically.
Speaking of iPhones, did you see another one of the adverts for iPhone? Used I Had a Dream, Priorago and Skrillex a song for it.
So cool.
Yeah. So it's really cool to see, obviously, like a South Asian dominated song being used to literally advertise their iPhone 16.
Oh, that is so cool, guys.
Yeah. And speaking of those two, how was Dialed In, Simran?
Yeah, I went to Dialed In Festival. That was on the 7th of September. Yeah, it was, because I was supposed to go home and watch the live stream. Oh, I'll tell you what, one thing though, maybe this is me getting old, but the day motives are where it's at, guys, because I had my hair washed, I was showered, I'd eaten something, and I was in bed at 11 p.m. And I love that for me. From East London, can I just say, and I don't live anywhere near East London.
But how was the event itself, and especially having obviously been to the cause before and seeing, like, I know obviously you'd been to the cause as, it's kind of like you went to the cause for other events and partied there, you went to the cause as like a venue tour with no one there, and now you've gone back for that specific event. So how was that?
It was like, in obviously the atmosphere was like a whole different venue, but like it's a very, very unique, very cool venue in itself anyway. They have an outdoor area where they have like a stage and a whole setup there, which was so incredible. Like Mana was there. I'm trying to think if who else was there. Was a lot of cool people out there. Ardy was there, I'm pretty sure. And there's so many cool people performing in there. Was inside.
Was the weather okay? Did they not need to put the thing up?
I think it was raining on my way in, but like spitting, it was fine. Cool. And then it was fine while we were there, touched with like, thank God. It was so cool. And honestly, it was very cool, like, to see our people performing, not even just performing, like killing it. And I think like this is one thing Naina said in our interview with her, like, for her and for a few other like South Asian DJs, they kind of stay away from the South Asian stuff. They want to stay more on the Western side of things, but big up the ones who do. And it was such a big mixture of both. And it was really fun. It was just so fun. And such a big mix of South Asian and non-South Asian people. They're like, there were people from all walks of life. Like, it wasn't just so strictly like just brown people everywhere. Like, it was such a big mixture. There was like lassi and chai and food. It was so cool. And bumped into a few people that recognized me from the show.
That's really nice to hear, because we had that a bit in Manchester, but I wasn't sure whether that was just because we were in Manchester. Yeah, so it's cool to hear that happen in London. Yeah,
I was surprised. I wasn't sure. And then like, I also saw random people like from Slough and stuff that I knew. So it was a very nice, it felt like a very community and community driven event, which is obviously what the point was.
Yeah.
So that was great. And it was very fun. And the good thing about the cause is there's so many rooms. I want to say like 6 rooms. So the ability to just physically run from one room to the other and just like just bop about and just be in a whole different sound, a whole different area. Inside, you're outside, you're in a big space, you're in a confined, sweaty space. Like, it's very cool. Nice. And we did go into every room. And there was that one artist whose name escapes me now. Is it Sharon? Selector Sharon,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Was it a five-hour set?
5-hour yeah. set in a very dark, very like compact room with little stages everywhere, so you have to really look where you're going.
Yeah, that's what I thought when we saw that room. I was like, how are people not going to trip up over these?
Well, we did nearly lose Carlos.
Yeah,
in that room.
Multiple times.
That was an experience. Very cool. Very, very cool experience. But it was an experience. It's very intense.
I was going to ask, what room did you end up spending the most time in?
Probably outdoors / gallery where Ahad was in the day. Mm. And then when it got more to evening, we spent pretty much the whole time in that main room where the big disco ball was.
The warehouse, but yeah.
Yeah, so Chez was there. And then Box Out, Indoor Warehouse.
Yeah, Box Out, Indoor Warehouse, yeah.
Yeah, they were all there.
Cool.
Very fun. And I made it into one of their Instagram dumps.
Really?
I'm in the back somewhere with my phone out.
I need to go look for that.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad you had a nice time. Like, I'm glad you got to experience that as well. Because obviously the Manchester one was good. And obviously it was sad that you couldn't be there. So it's nice that you got to experience a dialed-in thing.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I'm sure it's also a very different vibe to Manchester as well. Because the Manchester one was so much more of, like, a family-based event. Like, it was still, like partying. But, like, there were literally people with their kids there. And it was a lot more, like, it was a lot more, like, chilled kind of vibe. Whereas this seemed a lot more, like, rave.
If it wasn't so far, I would have really pushed you guys to come because I think you would have had such a good time. Like, it would have been so good. Like, especially if you brought everyone who came to the Manchester one, you all came together. Yeah. You would have had such a good time. And, like, to be honest, it was very wholesome. I just met some very nice people that genuinely wanted the best for everyone there. They were bigging up the talent so much. Like, they were, like, bigging up the show, and just people that genuinely like wanted to sit and have a chat with you, whether it was about dialed in or not. And nice. they just wanted to know about Manga Masala. They wanted to know about me. They wanted to know about you guys. Like, it was just so nice. Like, the vibes are great. Nice. So yeah. But no more dialed in now until 2026, as in the live shows. So
yeah, hold tight, guys. I'm curious as to what they've got planned, because they said they've got like some other stuff planned for next year, but they haven't revealed exactly what it is. So
no, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Keep your eyes peeled for 2025, guys.
Yeah. I mean, we also wanted to talk about the presidential debate today. We've kind of touched upon it in a funny sense.
Can I swear?
No, you can't swear. But
it was a mess.
So how much of it did you watch?
I've seen quite a bit, to be fair. I've seen a lot of it in clips, and I watched a little bit of it in full. It's very long. And then obviously I've seen now that Kamala Harris has called for another debate. Trump said no. And I read this big rant on Twitter that he put about how, like, he doesn't need to do another debate, and he so clearly won the first one. But then I'm seeing that, like, apparently this debate has swayed no one from Kamala to Trump, and then vice versa. But if it has, people are more swayed towards Kamala.
Is that perhaps like Kamala? Rather than Kamala?
I've heard Kamala and...
What, like you said, it's like Kamala.
Rather than
Kamala.
Is it?
Yeah.
The Americans are saying Kamala though, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think the way I... Do you know the Dua Lipa physical...
Yeah.
I think she's like, come and love isn't for us. So it sounds like that. Kamala isn't for us.
Bye.
Yeah. But I agree with you in the sense that I really doubt that debate would have changed anyone's mind, really. Like,
I would have hoped it would have changed more people towards her because of just the ridiculousness of things. I'm sure you've seen, right, the cats and dogs thing.
What cats and dogs thing?
Donald Trump claimed that immigrants in a town called Springfield, Ohio, are eating the cats and dogs of the people that live there. They're eating pets.
You know what? I've seen stuff that alludes to this and now it's making sense.
And the moderator, he's like, they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs in Springfield, Ohio. Like, what? And then the moderator, which we didn't have for our general election that just happened in the UK, the moderator was allowed to, like, fact check and kind of give their two cents a little bit. So a lot of people were saying that the moderators were very biased against Trump. But I just think it's because he was saying the outlandish stuff. So then
if he's saying
the
more
thing,
stuff that's not true, then what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. So he was saying the cats and dogs thing. And then the moderator was literally like, it has been proven that there are no cases of any illegal immigrants consuming the animals in Springfield, Ohio. And then I don't know how he reacted, but it was just a mess. And then they were also talking about like abortion. Obviously, it was going to be a huge topic. And Trump was basically talking about how if Kamala gets into office, they'll be enforcing post-birth abortions. Let that sit. That's what she stands for. Post-birth abortions in the 9th month and post-birth abortions. And then I watched this clip of someone, I always get confused about Democrat and Republican. Republican. A really, really far right Republican basically saying that they're slaughtering babies after they've been born. Like, ain't no one doing that.
It's madness. Like,
But that's why I thought it would have swayed more people to her. Like, away from Trump,
but
it just hasn't.
But Simran, the people that, like, support Trump have already seen, like, so many years of what he's about. I think if they were ever going to be swayed, it would have already happened.
But do you know
what I mean?
How I look at it, and clearly I'm wrong, but how I saw it was what we see on social media are, like, the very ill-educated, kind of a bit frenzied, rampant, they're talking about the cats and the dogs and the post-birth abortions, right? Like, those people. They're the ones that we see. But I'm thinking there must be such a huge fan base that we don't see that is just literally your average person, your average citizen. And that's who I thought would likely be swayed. But even that looks like it hasn't happened.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know what's going to happen in November. I mean, you never really can know, really, can you? But I don't know, I think there's something to be said as well, like, there's a lot of think pieces out there that are saying about there's no difference between the two in terms of issues like the global military defense, etc. For example, on issues like Palestine, obviously Kamala hasn't, like, necessarily spoken out.
She U-turned on her policy about thingies. She was saying, like, she stands with Israel and she has no, like, ill will and stuff like that. That's not verbatim, by the way, but she basically went back on what she was saying about Israel.
Yeah, so with that, I get it. But I definitely think there's still a case for, not that there's a lesser of two evils, because that kind of trivializes the fact there. But I do think that it's still worth, it's obviously still where people going out and voting for Kamala instead of Donald Trump on the issues of, like, say, women's reproductive rights, for example, to name one thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I still
at least a step in the less wrong direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, that's not to say, like, I still do a bit of an eye roll, for example, like Charlie XCX endorsing Kamala with, like, the whole brat thing.
What is that?
Yeah, it's like that is basically an open-ended endorsement without any kind of consideration. But I think it's perfectly fine to say I'd rather not vote for any of them, but I know that Donald Trump, if he gets into power, would do X, Y, Z. For that reason, I'm going to vote for Kamala. And that's not to say to anyone, if we have any American listeners out there, I'm not saying you should vote for either person, but that's just my personal opinion if I was American.
I'm not either of theirs, like, biggest fan. I'm definitely not Donald Trump's biggest fan, in my personal opinion. But yeah, I just think, like I said, a step in the less wrong direction. But But there's also a part of me that I can't envision a woman of color president, Like in the current climate that we we live in, and America's in.
Even female president, I think. Yeah, that, precisely. It's not even female, it's female women of color president.
That's what I mean. Yeah. 100%. Like I have doubts in that sense.
Also, the first would be the first president who does not have any white heritage that I'm aware of as well. Like, yeah, it would be a big thing in terms of, though, that quota, if that makes sense. Like,
I'm just not certain I can see that happening this year, which is so disappointing. But that's another big thing that kind of makes me doubt what will happen this year.
Who knows?
Who knows? We'll see in November, which is very soon.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's funny, though, because I remember when Donald Trump got voted in the first time in 2016, it was a couple of months into mine and Bianca's relationship. And I remember we were, like, long distance at the time in, like, between Leeds and Bristol. And I remember we actually fell asleep together, like, watching, like, the BBC, like, chart thing, you know, like, how it shows, like, which state. Fell asleep, and I think we, like, woke up in the middle of the night and saw that Trump had won and be like, what? Because like, no, I don't think anyone was expecting it.
I think Donald Trump being elected into office was my political awakening, because I was 16, right? So I feel like I hadn't really been engaged with politics until then. Like, I knew enough, but maybe I wasn't so, like, informed. And I feel like that was the real push for me to start Googling and to start researching my own, like, opinion.
As a 15 or 16-year-old, what was the Brexit vote like for you?
Did I do it?
No, because that's, so the Brexit vote happened a couple of months before Donald Trump.
But then it wasn't, was Brexit 16-year-olds? Or was that a whole debate that never happened?
No, it was just 18-year-olds, but I'm saying, like, because you're saying that Donald Trump was, like, your political awakening. So were you aware of what Brexit was happening, like, at that time?
Definitely aware of the, like, the fearmonger tactics of Brexit and why a certain demographic was voting for Brexit for the wrong reasons. I think that was the extent of my knowledge, but I wasn't actually sure of what Brexit was as a concept.
Yeah.
I kind of did know, but mine was more about, like, the politics surrounding the, like, vote swaying and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that was because I'd voted before and stuff, but I think that was the first time that I was actually like, oh no.
Yeah, but like, could I have voted? I would have voted Remain.
We'll never know if you're telling the truth.
Well, what the hell? You know me.
I don't know. I'm just stirring the pot. I don't know why.
But yeah, I just feel like it was my political awakening. Like, I really started being more engaged, actively engaged, instead of kind of just consuming what people tell me about politics. And I just feel like ever since he's been elected, everything that happens in the world, nothing has shocked me anymore.
Yeah. I do think that the party, I said this last week, I think Partygate, we said on the show before, Partygate, yes. in terms of UK politics, I think that is, I think that Donald Trump getting in terms of globally, but in terms of the UK specifically, I think Partygate was the point at which it's kind of...
Most of COVID, to be honest, and how it was handled, for me.
Agreed.
Was a big thing. And yeah, just Brexit, COVID, Jenny Lecky this year... Goodness me. When will we get a break? Cozzy lives.
Another one?
Another one. What is going on?
Seems like a perfect time to round things off with a little bit of... Bad Vibes Island. How was that?
Did you like my dancing?
No. Okay. Moving on. I'm being mean, it was all right. You could improve, definitely.
Have you eaten today?
A little bit, yeah, why? Have you?
You need to eat. You're hungry.
I'm not hungry. Don't try. No, Simran, your dancing was just bad. Don't try and, like, put it on to that. Don't try and make yourself feel better.
No one's ever said my dancing's bad.
It was, no. Then being mean, it wasn't bad. It was just a bit, it could have been more impressive.
Okay, I'll choreograph something next time.
Yeah. Anyway, thing I wanted to touch on this week is a similar sort of thing to something we've talked about before, which is whenever there's something bad that happens on Bad Vibes Island, which obviously is a lot of the time, somehow it ends up being the fault of immigrants or non-white people. And the latest example of that has been the cancellation of pensioners' winter fuel payments. So, for those that don't know, Labour, I believe, are planning to, or have already, cancelled winter fuel payments for pensioners, so it'd be a bit of money that they would normally get to cover their electricity, heating, whatever, over the winter period. Ultimately, I don't have enough knowledge on the actual winter fuel payments, etc., to really comment on whether or not that was the correct decision by Labour. But what I have seen has been a number of posts and graffiti scribbled across the UK, which is basically linking in the fact that pensioners' winter fuel payments has gone with the whole stop the boats ideology. So you literally got like, oh, two tiers care, stop the boats, why are our pensioners not getting their heating put on, but we can afford to pay for XYZ for illegal immigrants, blah, blah, blah. And first of all, even if we were paying for illegal immigrants, it's just the mentality, the morality of it to be like, oh, we can't afford to pay for these people. It's like, these people most of the time are literally fleeing from disasters that ultimately Britain as a globally superior entity in terms of its military, in terms of its power, etc., has largely contributed towards. So there's that. And then also there's the fact that It's just wrong. So, I looked up some stuff. So, approximately 2/3 of illegal workers in the UK actually do pay tax and national insurance. So there's no argument for illegal immigrants aren't paying tax, blah, blah, blah. And then even non-illegal asylum seekers in the UK aren't actually entitled to any state benefits. And also you got the fact that the UK proportionally actually takes in one of the fewest number of asylum seekers in Europe. Now, moving on to the whole fact of this affecting old people in regards to the winter fuel payments and them obviously having this argument of, oh, why are we not, these illegal immigrants are taking away the money that we need to give to our elderly British population.
It's giving America.
Mm. But the fact is, obviously, the UK has an aging population because people aren't having as many children as they were before and people are living longer. So we do have a larger, older population. Yeah. Migrants actually make up over a fifth or about a fifth of the care workforce. When you think about care homes, there's so many migrant workers that actually work as part of these care homes. So if anything, them being in the UK is actually of benefit to the elderly British population, because if they weren't here, then who would be looking after them? Furthermore, the UK's asylum system costs around $3 billion a year. So the UK's asylum system costs around $3 billion a year, which is a lot of money, right? But if we compare this to other stuff, in 2021, the UK government financed over £17 billion worth of weapons to 70% of the world's worst human rights abusers, many of whom illegal immigrants are actually fleeing. Furthermore, the government is only aiming to save around like £1.4 billion by removing these winter fuel payments. Why don't we like save money by like stopping financing war crimes?
Just a think piece, just a suggestion. Just some light thinking on my Friday afternoon, you know? Yep.
critical thinking, GCSE distinction.
My prefrontal cortex is coming in the post in the next year and 6 weeks, so I'll be able to achieve that level of critical thought then. Until then, Keir Starmer's safe.
Can't wait for you to experience that.
I can't wait to have fully developed brain. Anyway, nothing surprises me. This is literally the state of the country at the moment, in my opinion, that everything can just now be absolved to Britain's stance on illegal immigrants. It can always be put, the blame can always be put onto some person of colour.
Yeah.
And it just diminishes the responsibility of the government, who are allocating funds in any which way, like you just stated, to other things. And like, okay, I'm not saying that, like, obviously this winter fuel payment is devastating. Like, it's gonna really, really affect lives. And I saw something actually that was really sad, and it was about how, like, libraries this year are gonna be preparing to house old people in the daytimes and, like, when they're open and stuff, like they have done in previous years. And, like, pensioners have been encouraged to ride the bus to stay warm. Like, that to me is dystopian. I don't know if I'm being dense and that's, like, common knowledge that everyone knew happens every year, right? But this is the first I've heard about this riding the bus thing. Like, that is, to me, is so dystopian that instead of being able to heat your home, you're being told to ride public transport.
To stay warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, why are we not picking fault with that rather than being like, oh, we're spending money? Like, it's just so infuriating, because it's like the people that say this as well, where are you getting your, like, okay, if we're spending so much money on illegal immigrants and stuff, tell me, how much money are we spending on these people that it should be being spent on pensioners? And we said there, they're spending approximately £3 billion on asylum system. They're looking to save, like, the apparent cost of the winter fuel system is around £1.5 billion. So it's only around half of that anyway. Like I said, if you want to, like, get their money from somewhere else, like, the illegal...
greater transparency into where this money... So X amount that they're going to save on getting rid of this winter payment, where is that exactly, is every penny of that money saved going to? And not only do we need greater transparency into it, we need greater awareness. It needs to be plastered. It needs to be publicized. So the average person knows that, yeah, there's $3 billion going into the asylum system, but what about the $17 billion going into war expenditure?
Yeah. I think it's just like, I saw the other day as well how Elon Musk is predicted to eventually be the world's first trillionaire.
Why is he a villain? Why has he done that then?
Like, why?
Why?
Why? Like, it's just, I know Elon Musk isn't British, but I'm just like, in a world where trillionaires exist, why are we having this debate? Like,
with a T. But this is my point, like, nothing shocks me anymore. If you want to make a winter fuel payment cut thing about illegal immigrants when we spend this much money on foreign arms, right? When you want to be up and trying to set fire to a travel lodge up in the northeast of England because there's illegal immigrants in there, or migrants or asylum seekers in there, and we had, what, a week of riots? What the hell? Nothing surprises me anymore.
Exactly. I feel like this kind of scapegoating has been the first instance of this kind of sentiment resurfacing for me, like on a public scale for me, that I've seen. And it's just kind of reinforced, like, because I think after the riots, I think everyone was kind of like, where have all these people gone? And the fact that this sentiment is what being widely shared amongst a number of British people, I think to me is just like, yeah, they're all there still. They've all still got the same, for sure. Like,
but I don't know what ignorant part of me thought that to some extent it had calmed down. Of course it hasn't.
Yeah, it's sad.
But it's just more political tactics to put us against one another instead of to focus that effort on the government and to look more deeply into what they're doing and how they're spending the money that is going to disadvantage the average British person. But if you want to make it about people of colour and ignite race tension, sure, go for it. Because that's a nice little scapegoat, isn't it?
You know what? like, these people that are moaning about, like, this and that, and all old people can't pay for their eating, this, that, the other, maybe they should take a leaf out of people of colour's books and actually house the grandparents with them rather than blaming them. You know what? And I'm obviously saying that in satire. I obviously respect the fact that this is a really bad thing for a lot of old people and stuff. But I'm saying the people that are, like, blaming it on illegal immigrants, like, just, why don't you think about what you can do rather than trying to blame someone who has literally nothing to do with this?
I know. This whole thing is just silly.
Anyway.
That's where
it's silly.
Yeah, it's silly. That's my professional opinion.
Anyway, thank you everyone for tuning in to this week's episode. Next week, it's going to be me and Simon are going to be together in person. So that'll be
live.
Cool. Well, technically it won't be live, but yeah.
Pre-recorded, but in person.
Yep. That's it. There's not quite the same thing to it, but yeah, so that'll be nice. And yeah, we will see you same time next week. Until then, goodbye. Bye.